Welcome to the Leeds Church Institute podcast. LCI is a faith-based organisation for lifelong learning. You can find out more about the Leeds Church Institute by visiting lcileeds.org. Something Veiled, a prose poem written by Deacon Mary Evans, Methodist representative on the Leeds Responsible Gaming Forum.
Leeds City Centre, Eastgate. The Victoria Gate Casino. Truly, this grand foyer is a liminal space. Literally, it is the space between two worlds. I cross the threshold, leaving the everyday reality of the street. Ascending the escalator, I am transported into a differing reality, one harbouring the unknown. Here, it is comfortingly dark. Here, I feel the subtle warmth of decor. Here, safely enclosed, I feel like a child, gently lifted from the floor and swung up high into the adult spaciousness of a grown-up world. I could lose myself within this cavernous embrace. This is like a church, a cathedral. And I feel a something here, a something hidden, a something I can't quite put my finger on, can't quite explain, a something beyond, something veiled. People are clustering in more intimate spaces, chapels maybe, or altars. Here the games are played. Here the classic rituals are reenacted. Here personal prayers and sacrifices are being offered to the god of chance. It is midday. Today there are few customers. It is a thin congregation. Seeing this, suddenly the illusion is lost. No longer under enchantment, I see business. Simply business. Big business plying its business game. Why am I here? Surely not to play. Ushered through a door into yet another world, what do I feel? Excitement. Fear. Adventure. Here we walk behind the scenes. Cold concrete floors. Bare breeze block walls. Here the glare of sparse fluorescent tubes. Light corridors and stairs which lead on through doors and doors, more doors, each securely guarded by inevitable keypads, lights drowsily winking, but they never sleep. And then on into the training room, where our responsible gaming forum meets. Here is another liminality, another transit into another world. Behold, sandwiches, fruit, cake and coffee are set before us. No one eats. Who gathers in this space? Charities that treat addicted gamblers. Leeds City Council. The Licensing Authority. Leeds Credit Union. Financial Inclusion Workers. Citizens' advice, health workers, homelessness workers, the police, representatives from the gaming industry, the Gaming Commission and the casino, academic researchers from the universities, and myself, representing another voice. The churches? Or is it God? And as we gather at our table, what game is it we play today? What ritual reenact? Our offerings are the commitments that we made, some in contract or in law, some in working lives committed to the poor, some in numbers crunched in statistics and research, trying to find the core, the truth, the solution to... Well, we could be in a meeting anywhere, finding solutions is an addiction of our age. In turn, each present their story, each give witness or account, cast their contribution into the space between us. This feels real. But reality is veiled, I tell myself. For me, this table too is liminal space, a space between two worlds or more. I guess it is for each of us. We float between considering the leisure, fun and pleasure of the game, the lure, and the desperation of the loser, losing all and borrowing beyond the means of paying back. Floating above our heads, the arguments of economic gain and benefit, of harm and health, and the merry hullabaloo of regeneration, of Leeds needs, of Leeds deeds and aspiration for business produces commonwealth. And lurking there, beneath the veil, not quite hidden, but not quite seen. The operation, the profits, the advertising, the investors, the balance between responsibilities and accountabilities, between those who keep their feet upon the ground and those who don't. Who here are the people of the peace? Who hear the doves? Who hear the serpents? What is the voice I bring? Mentally, I pick up imaginary dice and make my throw. Cast the little insight that I have upon the table, risking all. Describe the church's lobbying. Reflect upon necessity of risk within society. Relate the testimony of a recovering gambling addict from pastoral experience. Paint the image of a spiritual malaise that once we all called sin. And having cast my throw, do I detect a win? A spanner in the works? Of course not. More like a crumb within the gears. And I am left to play the witness game again, as are we all next time. A witnessing through years.
So I'm here with Deacon Mary Evans, who is City Centre Deacon from the Leeds Methodist Mission. Why didn't you say hello? And tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh gosh. Hello, I'm Mary. I've been a Methodist deacon for 30 years, and most of my working life has been in the north, and particularly in Yorkshire.
So you've written a prose poem for City Theology. Would you like to tell us about that?
Since I arrived in Leeds 2 years ago, I found myself, my name being on this list to attend the Responsible Gaming Forum. And I thought, what on earth's that? My predecessor, Deacon Jenny Jones, had been involved with it. And I think even before that, Methodist Minister Philip Bee was involved in some of the talks and considerations around the casino coming to Leeds. And it's sort of a continuity that I felt I had to honour. So attending has been something that I've been doing. It's a quarterly meeting. And the actual forum comes into being as a legal requirement, part of the licensing of the casino within the city centre. They have an obligation to look at the responsibility they have for those who are vulnerable to gambling addictions and problems. And therefore, part of that is through engaging charities and other organisations that have an interest. We don't have any clout in the sense of being able to make the casino do anything, but it's a forum where the whole issues around gambling and problem gambling and responsible gambling can be talked about.
What is your impression of that kind of world?
Well, I think my impression is captured really in what I wrote. Here is a building that is actually quite engaging psychologically. You know, it actually draws you in. And there's a whole process that anybody coming into that sort of space goes through. You actually begin to lose track. I mean, other buildings do this too. So clearly churches have an element where, you know, you go through from the outside world into a space which is perhaps, we would hope, more spiritual. Theatres, much the same. All sorts of buildings, shops particularly, perhaps in shopping centres, you know, that have a way of drawing you in, and it's just the same there. But it's particular. I noticed it as particularly engaging, I think, because there's a darkness to it, you know, which contrasts with the warmth that they put in. And you come in and you're going to have a good time. But it emphasises perhaps the individuality, the fact that you are there basically on your own. And although you play with others, maybe, you actually are, you go into a space inside your head or within yourself. And perhaps that's very deliberate and very carefully constructed. I suspect it is. I can't say that I go into the casino on any other occasion. But I do notice how when you play games, perhaps on the computer or something, I mean, even if you play Patience with a pack of cards, there's something that can grab you. You know, when you become caught up in that, you can't say it's obsessive or compulsive, but it's only a step away from that. And there's an impetus to repeat and to repeat, you know, that game, whatever it is. And our society seems to be really caught up in that since the law changed and since the internet brought, you know, gaming and digital gaming really as the mainstream leisure activity for younger generations, certainly. So it's a cause of concern and interest.
In your article, in your poem, you talk about the necessity of risk, which I thought was a really interesting phrase, this idea that games of all kind are kind of tapping into something that's human in us, that's core. Am I misunderstanding that? Is that something you'd say?
I think as individual human beings, there's something about us that needs risk. We need to take risks or we don't grow. We need to take risks or we don't flourish. And I think there's something that I'm sort of capturing there. Perhaps this is in contrast to some of the other organisations in society that are risk averse. And perhaps the church in certain respects can be seen very much as being risk averse. We don't necessarily take the risks to be different or to explore new ways of being. And I was just interested in that. And taking risks in a safe way, i.e. through the form of a game, whatever that game might be. You know, I mean, sports are games, just as much as gambling can be a game. The structure around it enables us to practice taking risk. Role-playing games and things have particular ways of engaging, you know, what you're going to do here if you go through the door, you know, who's going to be on the other side. Do you want to find out or do you want to take the safe route and go down the corridor and try something else? You know, that sort of thing. Actually, if you don't go through the door, if you don't take the risk, you don't win, you don't get through, you don't get through the adventure, you don't find the task. And there's something about that that I think we don't talk about particularly, or at least I'm not aware of people talking about it in society. We might use the word risk a lot. We might talk about codes for safety and health and so on, and we're all very much aware of that in our culture. But what's the balance here? And perhaps gambling, for some people, is a way of exercising that innate quality that we have, that need to take risk, and therefore responsible gambling. Responsible gaming is probably okay. It's something that we need to do. But of course, there's also the risk for those who are vulnerable to get caught up in addictive behaviour or to take risks which put them, their whole lives, and particularly financially, at greater risk and, well, crisis and beyond. You know, life can be destroyed by it.
So why is it that we're talking about responsible gaming rather than abstaining from gaming?
Well, I think that that's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, traditionally, certainly for the Methodist Church, gambling, sometimes we try and draw a distinction between gambling and gaming. It's actually quite blurred, I think. But gambling is something that we have been very suspicious of because we've seen how it destroys people's lives. And clearly, it does. And you only have to listen to the news almost week by week. There are stories that, that can be heard and seen of people who've been destroyed. You know, their lives have been affected by gambling. And that is a huge concern. Particularly, I think, younger generations, that distinction between gaming and gambling has become so blurred because most of the games, certainly games that people would play on a bus perhaps, or on a train as they go to work, or between school lessons or something or other, they'd probably be games that are constructed in a way that mimics gambling. Some of them using prizes and treasure boxes and things which people get drawn into, young people can get drawn in. Oh, look, there's a prize. Oh, look, there's another prize. If I do this, I can get a bigger prize, and so on. And that whole way of thinking becomes entrenched, even though it's not actually using money. It's only another step. And in actual fact, with some of the gaming, so I understand, you can buy in and therefore begin to use money. And so on. Well, is that what we want? Is that what we decided? Is that what we chose? That there's pressures, obviously, and that whole passage about the business side, suddenly seeing the business, you know, here is a way of making money and lots of money through people playing games and getting drawn into it and being encouraged so to do.
So you've talked about the responsibilities that, say, casinos and organisations have towards the people who use them. Now, I have to be honest, I didn't think they had any responsibility, and that, perhaps that's my prejudice. So what steps do kind of institutions take to protect their customers?
I think I would need to draw a distinction between casinos and other forms of gaming and gambling. Obviously, betting is another area. The online stuff is totally different. But within casinos, basically, you go in and you are given a card that identifies who you are. In other words, you're like a member. And you use that card as a way of playing the games, whatever the games are that you engage in. And that, because of our sophisticated digital world, is actually quite a useful tool, not just for the business, for the casino, to monitor, you know, how you're spending and what they might be getting, but also if you're displaying patterns which of behaviour which are flagging up that you might be at risk to yourself. And at certain points, there are triggers so that conversations will be had by the managers of the casino, just informal conversations to begin with, perhaps, just to find out more about who you are and your ability to sustain the financial level that you're engaging in playing the games. And there becomes a point, I suppose, where they may make suggestions. They can't enforce you particularly to stop. Obviously, if you spend all the money you've got, then you can't play anymore. But it means that they have some obligations through law and through the licensing to monitor and to encourage reflection or pausing in your gaming. There are schemes that operate nationally for people who have had their lives devastated, and they choose, if you wish to, you can engage in these schemes where you actually, if you were to go into a casino, it would be triggered up. You know, you're on this voluntary scheme, you're not wanting to come in, therefore we're not letting you in. And obviously, it's really only for those that have made that decision. But that is there are a number of schemes like that. Similarly, banks have schemes that you can opt into as if you're a problem gambler, so that you can, you know, your certain activities are barred in from your account. So you can't actually spend the money if you go into, you know, a betting office or into and use your card. There are ways around it, obviously, but there are a number of schemes that people who have addiction to gambling can engage in, and some of them quite successfully. If you choose not to, then there's ways around it, but they are there.
What concerns you most about the world of gaming and gambling?
I think when the law changed back in the early 2000s, I don't think we realised quite what we were letting ourselves in for, particularly in the advertising and the way that games and gambling are advertised this day. There is any time, certainly after 9 o'clock at night on television, mainstream television, you will be inundated with ad after ad after ad for betting or gambling in one way or another. And I don't know that we realised that was going to happen. I don't think that we realised the sponsorship thing with major sports was going to perhaps encourage the gambling. And to do, you know, in-game betting, I think, was probably not it would have been on some people's radar, but I don't know that it was on many of us. The whole way that betting and gambling occurs has changed, and it's fueled this advertising in a way that certainly I didn't expect, and I find really quite not just distasteful but really quite worrying. Can you get away from it if you do gamble? And many people do. It may only be, you know, small amounts or in, you know, bingo things, but you can't get away from it, and the incentives to are affecting us in ways that perhaps we can't measure easily these days.
What opportunities are there for Christians to get involved?
Most of the mainstream Christian churches will have ways of feeding in when there are issues for lobbying in the law, changing the law. So there has been a focus campaign on reducing the amounts that can be betted on the machines in shops and bars and so on. It's been possible to stake £100, £200 on these machines, and the, you know, with each roll of the bar, and to reduce that fixed stake has been a particular focus. That is still something that needs to be engaged with. The hope is that £2 would be the maximum stake on most of the machines, the one-armed bandits, except that they don't have arms now. Fruit machines, as I used to call them when I was a kid. That's one area. The churches, particularly the Methodist Church, works with other churches. So there's the joint public issues team that we have nationally with the Baptists, the United Reformed Churches, and the Church of Scotland. And gambling is one of the issues that we monitor there. So you can find information from the joint public issues team websites. I think one of the interesting things is really to be aware how hidden problems gamblers can be. When people have alcoholic addictions or drug addictions, perhaps their physical appearance and their ability to be sociable is affected. a gambling addiction will affect people's lives. But to be alert to the fact that people might be asking you for small amounts of money, or asking other people, you know, what's going on here? You can begin to build up a picture. It's not obvious. People don't, they don't own it, or it doesn't appear in the same way that other addictions can. So being aware that within your community and the people that you know, there may be people who do have a risk of becoming addicted or are addicted to gambling. I think the most important way, like so many subjects that are difficult in our world today, people need to talk about it. Gambling used to be an issue that church people would talk about. Perhaps they were located in communities where it was more obvious when there were problems in a family due to gambling. I mean, they were often linked to problems in drink as well. But these days it's more hidden. People's problems can be covered up sometimes. But talking about how what you see in way of advertising and how that might affect people, talking about how people have problems with money, particularly with poorer communities, issues around food and employment and so on can impact. And you know that we know the stories around food banks and people's need for that. But just to always to just think about including a question or a comment or an observation, you know, about how gaming and gambling can affect people's lives. Just don't forget it. Don't forget it. Just include it in conversations. And then people who have a problem might be able to open up.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast from the Leeds Church Institute. If you'd like to know more about the Leeds Church Institute, visit lcileeds.org.